Hey, what's going on, everybody? Sean Mathis here, CEO and founder of The Millionaire Mastermind, and this is our success series where we're dedicated to bringing you guys the best of the best when it comes to talent, the best entrepreneurs, the best real estate agents, the best mortgage brokers, the business tycoons of the world, and I am super excited about this week's guest. We've got the New York Times bestseller four times over, expert contributor on Fox News, Fox Business, CNBC, MSNBC, Entrepreneur.com, Huffington Post, you name it. Grant is everywhere. I look up to him. I follow him. You guys definitely need to follow him. And I think after you hear what we discussed today, you're going to definitely be a fan of his 10X rule and his entire process. He's founded the Cardone University. He speaks and trains sales forces all over the world. Grant Cardone, I really appreciate you being here today. Welcome to the call, my man.
Hey, Sean, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate that you think enough of me to have me speak to your audience.
Oh, I couldn't think of anything, anybody better. And one of my favorite, just so you guys know, is Grant's Rants. You got to follow this guy on YouTube. That's how I was first introduced to Grant, was a sales rant. I think you called it the Sales Smackdown. Do you remember that video years ago, Grant?
I remember that video. I write all that video content. We've dropped almost 4,000 videos between YouTube and our new channel, whateverittakesnetwork.com. We've dropped almost 4,000 videos there, including reality TV shows. We have that particular rant was because I was speaking at a gig in Vegas, and there was this green screen set up, and I'm walking past it, and these guys had cameras already set up, and I'm like, hey, man, do you mind if I do a gig real quick? And they're like, who are you? I said, I'll tell you when I'm done. And I walked in, the green screen was I walk in, I do my deal, and basically I had a cold at the time. And some salesman came by me and says, oh, I'm good. And I'm like, dude, you don't know what you're doing, man. Like, because look, if your money doesn't show up, it's your talent that's missing or your actions. And the only reason your actions aren't in is because your talent's missing. Because if the talent, if the skill level is there, I don't mean talent so much because we all have talent. If the skill level, if you're certain about your skill level, you will naturally take action. If I can make a 3-point shot, no, I can't, I'm going to take the shot. So when you see laziness drop into, and I think you want to talk about employees today, if you see laziness drop into an organization or the person that works with you, dude, it's because their skills, their certainty about their skills have dropped. And I was telling this cat, I said, bro, what's your money look like? Money's not everything. I said, well, that means you ain't got any money. That's what that means, because if you made a bunch of bank last year, you'd be bragging to me about, oh, I had the best year I ever had. So the reason I went straight to his money is an indication of your certainty about your skills and therefore what supports your talent and shows up at the bank. And so I went into this green screen, I do this thing, I said, you can't, you're selling skills, Arnest. You got no skills at all. So it's this rant about how, I forget the name of it, Sean. Do you remember the name of the video?
I think it's a Sales Smackdown.
It was called the Sales Smackdown. You can find it on YouTube or Whatever It Takes Network. And it was a takeoff of the Glengarry Ross thing. And
yeah, I had my whole office at the time. It was myself and insurance. We all watched that, but I mean, Grant gives away so much content. It is unreal. He talked about 4,000 videos on his YouTube channel. So definitely check that out and the Whatever It Takes Network. But, you know, like Grant said, what we want to talk to you about today is
go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you. I want to be sure that nobody gets turned off, that we came in on this, you know, me smacking down salespeople like I don't respect them. I love salespeople. If you're not a salesperson, you know, replace the word salesperson with revenue. Like, if you like revenue, you know, good, then you're a revenue man or a revenue woman, because that's what I've always been interested in. It wasn't sales I was so interested in. I wasn't trying to destroy salespeople there. Look, revenue is important to your family. It's important to your community. It's important to your group. It's important to your church. You need revenue to sustain your missions and your goals and your dreams. And so anytime that I write any of my books, I'm really talking about the survivability of whatever the most important things in your life are. It just so happens in the so-called modern age, we need revenue. You know, you need revenue to make your mission a reality.
Absolutely. No, and Grant trains salespeople all over the world, and absolutely is one of the best of the best. If you're in sales, you've got to follow him. But I wanted to bring Grant on today because he's got a culture within his organization that is like something I have never seen. I mean, I know several people in his organization. I've watched their videos on sales calls. And the way that he is able to build this culture within his organization and have that resonate through every single person I have ever met is astounding to me. And one of the big issues that my clients face, small business owners at large, I think, face, is finding good talent and then being able to take that talent and mold them and have them adapt and buy into the culture of your business and buy into what it is that your business stands for. And I think Grant and I were talking earlier that most business owners haven't even thought enough to define what that is, what their business stands for, define that mission of that business in the insurance world, define what your insurance agency stands for. Why is everybody there? And I think first and foremost, you definitely need to address that. But you know, Grant's got a new show that's coming out, or that's already out, The Ultimate Job Interview, and it's on the Whatever It Takes Network. But I wanted to talk a little bit about that with you, Grant, and you know, what you could do to help small business owners out there articulate what their mission is and how you've built that culture within your organization. And I know that you've trained with some of the biggest Fortune 500 companies out there, and you've been hired and worked with their salespeople. But the problems that you see business owners face when it comes to building a culture in their sales organization and then maintaining that, and then how they can identify good talent and retain that talent.
Well, okay, first of all, let me just say that, you know, we do have a culture here that's a little unique. And that goes, I can take credit for some of that. Sherry, my COO, can take credit for probably the largest portion of that because she executes on the things that I want done. Jared Glant, he's a 30-year-old guy that you wouldn't expect, you know, from a millennial, discipline, culture, duplication of orders. But I tried it the other way. It just didn't work for me. You know, I just finished spending a weekend with the U.S. Army in Fort Benning. And, you know, these guys, they wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. They go out and do Revelry. 5:30, they're doing physical training. At 6 o'clock, they have breakfast. At 8:30 a.m., they're having their second training. And I'm like, man, that's what I want. You know, I don't want the smartest people. I don't need the smartest people. I don't need the prettiest people. I don't need the tallest people. I need the willing people. The willing people that will do what I want, not what they want. Not what the guy down the street wants. Not what CNN wants. CNBC, MSNBC, and MTV. I need my people to do what I want. And I think the business owner, whether you're in insurance or you're in real estate, or you're in automotive or plumbing, contracting, whatever you're in, you know, you got to decide what is it you want. If you're going to own the business, look, if you want to own a business, then you should at least get what you want. When I go to a restaurant, I want to get the food I want at the restaurant, okay? Now, if I went to the wrong restaurant, you know, and they don't serve what I want, I'd probably be best getting up and leaving. So I want to get what I want. The reason I went into business for myself is I wanted to do it my way. I see so many people go into business for themselves. They want to do it their way, and then they get into business, and they got 12 other people that are doing it their way, not the guy's way or the gal's way. So one, I want my freedom. I live in America. I was speaking to these troops at Fort Benning. They said, man, why are you an entrepreneur? Dude, I want freedom. Why do you live in America? I want freedom. Why'd you leave California? Because they took my freedom away. They started trying to tax me for where I live. They started imprisoning me. They started making me a slave. I want freedom. I'm an entrepreneur, not because I want the nice car and the big watch and a bunch of money. I want freedom. Now, for me to get that freedom, That means everybody around me needs to know what I stand for, because I'm going to hire Robert, but we're not doing Robert's company. We're doing Grant's company. We're not going to, if Robert wants to go do his own deal, risk his own money, his own capital, fall on his face. By the way, 76% of all business owners break even or lose money. I'm sorry, that number is 72%. 72% of all business owners break even or lose money. I'm like, what's the difference? Dude, if you own a company and you break even, you need to put a freaking gun in your head, okay? You need to go work for somebody else, because that's just stupid, or you need to change the way you think. Now, Sean, if your audience is hearing me for the first time, they're like, dude, what's this cat all about? Dude, I'm about freedom, okay? Okay, I'm about freedom. I want freedom. I'm not trying to be an entrepreneur. I'm trying to be free in America that promotes freedom. And for me to be free, I need money. For me to be free, I need people duplicating policy. For me to be free in my mind, when I'm not at work, I need to know they're doing what I want to do, not what they want to do. I have a saying a chick turned me on to. She's one of the strongest executives I've ever met in my life. She's responsible for raising hundreds of millions of dollars for charity. I watched her raise $40 million this weekend. Okay, 40 million, bam. This chick, okay, and I say that with all the respect in the world, because she's a freaking diehard executive. She told me, she says, look, if you don't have always, you end up with nevers. And I said, what was that? You know, have you ever heard something where you heard it and you're like, whoa, I'll never forget it. You don't have to write it down. You don't have to repeat it. Dude, it's so true that you're like, oh, my God, it just rocked my world. She says, if you don't have always, you end up with nevers. And the point of that is, as a business owner, you need some always. They don't need to be right, by the way. They need to be your always. Okay? Because if you don't have always, then the organization, the people around you, could be your kids, could be your wife, your husband, could be cousins, uncles, aunts, people that work for you, come and go. Dude, they'll end up with never doing it. So, like, for instance, we have a meeting here every day. I'll give you one example of an always. We always have a meeting. Every single day, no matter what, no matter how many deals, no matter how many customers, no matter what we always have a meeting. Always, always, always. And that creates some stability in an organization and starts putting culture in. The second always that we have is my sales team is required to train on my sales team. My professional sales team is required to train on my material 6 times a day, 3 a.m. and 3 p.m. And that is documented. We have reporting on it. They won't be paid until they do it. And if I got to tell them over and over, we kill somebody. Okay. A third always. And then Sean, I'll turn it back over to you. If the stats of the organization go down, better said, don't go up. If they stay flat or don't rise, if they go down or stay flat, and we do everything we can to push them up, we always fire someone. Always. Now, I'm not hiring people until I get rid of the bad ones. And I don't mean bad people. I don't mean evil people. I don't mean, you know, they're jihadists. I mean people that are counter to what I want. I consider that bad. You know, if I want to go 140 miles an hour and you're like, no, we need to do the speed limit right now. Well, you know what? There's times when you do the speed limit and there's times when you better not. And so if I got a guy in the back seat saying, oh, we can't, man, I can't go this fast. I'm like, open the door and get out of the car. We got to go fast.
What you appreciate that, and I like what you hit on a couple points that you know, actually resonate with one of the conversations I recently had with one of my clients. They in our forum, we work in a mastermind setting where all of our clients can interact with each other and work through the systems that we're teaching them. And the question was posed, you know, I can't seem to get my salesperson to do X, Y, and Z, and I, you know, no matter how much I work with them, what do you guys suggest? And we had all these long-winded comments. I didn't take the time to read all of them because there were so many of them.
Yeah, yeah.
I simply said fire them. I mean, and I think that too many business owners are afraid, especially the small business owners, if you've only got two or three people working in your organization, they're afraid to lose somebody, and they spend too much time trying and trying and trying to make something out of nothing. And at what point do you decide that it's time to let them go, or at what point can you tell the listeners to say, just let it go?
Yeah, what you have basically is the reason the business owner, and you hit on it, the reason the business owner won't get rid of the guy is because they got putty. They got basically putty sitting in a crack. And they know, man, if I pull the putty out, then I'm going to see the crack. Okay, so the reason they won't get rid of the putty is because they're not bringing in new reinforcements like silicone and cement and new putty. Look, you need to hire more people. You guys, you business owners, okay, 21 million out of 28 million small businesses in America have no employees. I'm going to say that again. 21 million out of 28 million small businesses in America have no employees. It's Bob doing his own deal. He's a 1099 guy, and he works for himself. He's got his own self-employment. He works from his home. He's all proud of that he's got no employees. You guys have taken small to a freaking whole nother level, okay? And let me tell you what small gets you. Small gets you small, and small gets smaller over time. People do not cost money, okay? The way you remove the caulking, the putty, is you have four people standing on the sidelines. So we just created this show. I moved to Miami from Los Angeles. We looked at 800 resumes. I had no idea how big a problem this was. So we moved to Miami. You know, they tell me, man, you can't find anybody good in Miami. I'm like, that's what they said in L.A., dude. Everybody in L.A., we can't find anybody good in L.A. because, you know, they blamed it on all the Hispanics coming in from Mexico. Then I moved to Miami. We can't find anybody good in Miami. Yeah, why is that? All the Cubans came in from Florida, up into Florida, okay? I remember living in Houston, Texas. We can't find anybody good in Houston. I lived in Lake Charles, Louisiana. We can't find anybody good here. Everywhere I go, I hear the same bullshit. We can't find anybody good. And the guy saying that, I always wonder if the guy saying that is talking about himself. You know, Sean, because when he says, I can't find anybody good, does that include you? Because the moment you've decided you can't find anybody good, it sounds like the single woman. She just got out of a relationship. All men are animals. You know, the guy gets out of a relationship with a girl. I hate relationships. I can't find any good girls. The employer, I can't find any good people. Dude, you guys have given up. Though that is the voice and the vocabulary of a quitter. The way you get rid of the weak guy is you have four people standing by. You're staying small. That is the ultimate problem. You're trying to stay small and you're trying to manage your cash. You should not be managing your cash. You should be managing your growth. I made this mistake for 30 years in business, okay? I'm 57 years old now. I made this mistake until I was 51 years old. I tried to conserve my resources, and I should have been expanding and hiring people, putting money at risk. Instead, what I did was conserve my capital, and I put revenue at risk. You see the difference?
Love it.
So the takeaway there is this. You're putting your revenue at risk when you conserve your capital. So we shoot this TV show when we come to Miami because the hiring process is impossible. You post an ad, 800 resumes. You get inundated with resumes. You can't read more than three or four of them before you're like, oh, hell, I don't know what to do. I got 796 left to read. I'm like, this is fucked up, okay? I can't even run a company now because now I have to read lies. Okay. So, and they all say the same thing, you know, I'm a good employee. I'm a team player. I know Excel spreadsheets. I'm good with MS. I don't even know what they're talking about half the time. I'm just an executive. And so I'm like, hey, throw these freaking resumes away. We're going to shoot a TV show. We're going to find out if these people will send me a video. If they'll come in, we're going to cast them for a show and I'm going to spend all day with like 8 or 10 people. I'm going to push them against one another. I'm going to ask them questions I could never ask in a job interview. I'm going to have them do things I would get sued for if it was a job interview. And I'm going to find out who's willing, who will do whatever it takes, who can think on their feet, who can think when they're exhausted, okay? Who quits first? And I'll do that all in one day, and I'll find out who the best are, and then I'll hire those people. I'll give you stats. We hired 10 people. We still have 6 of them. That means I was right on 60% of them. Those 6 people have produced, amongst them, $4.7 million in revenue, and I paid out $631,000. So, dude, I'm a $4 million winner on the deal.
Oh, man, that's awesome. I love it. And you guys, I really hope that you're taking this in and this is resonating with you, because that those aha sayings, those moments, that's one that I'll remember forever, is when you conserve cash, your revenue. And so many people have that mindset. And I really hope that sinks in with you guys.
One other thing that is really important for your entrepreneur, a business owner to use, for instance, Jacqueline, okay, I'm just giving you the list of people that we hired here from the show. It's called The Ultimate Job Interview. It's at whateverittakesnetwork.com. You can actually go there for free. You can subscribe. There's 31 one-hour shows there every week by me and other very talented people. Sean, I'd love to have you on the show, okay? If you go to the button called Reality, you'll see the Reality series that we were offered by 2 networks, a price to sell, and we didn't. We wanted to keep it there. You'll see 4 shows sitting there, 4 full one-hour episodes, okay? For instance, we hired Jacqueline. I paid her $2,200. She didn't produce a penny for me. We were wrong about Jacqueline. I knew I was wrong when I did it, okay? Jordan. I paid him $131,000. He made me $1,000,001. Eddie B., I paid him $700. He quit. He made me no money. Andres, paid him $26,000. He was in shipping for a year. I don't know if he made any money for me. Probably didn't, but I had to have him. Okay. Ingrid, paid her $36,000. She never made me a penny. I don't even think she was worth anything to you, Robert. I don't know. Great girl. Nice chick. Okay. V never made me any money. Natasha, I paid her $97,000. She paid me $900,000. These people came out of the show. So the point I'm making there is some of them cost me a little bit of money, but the ones that worked make you money. So don't worry about the ones that cost you. Just keep hiring people. Keep looking for people. Keep the door open to interview new people.
And this will probably astound you, or maybe not. You've probably seen it all, as many people and businesses that you've consulted for, but I've got a program where we're helping these folks generate leads, and talking about conserving cash and risking revenue, these guys are generating so many leads going through my program as insurance agents. They've got maybe one salesperson, or maybe they're by themselves and they haven't yet hired somebody. Generate leads, and my thought process is generate leads and hire somebody and generate more leads and let them work it, because we're showing them how to generate endless leads here, and 9 out of 10 of them will stop generating leads. They'll stop their advertising because they can't handle the business coming through the door, rather than hire somebody to do that.
It's crazy.
It makes no sense to me.
Because people get frustrated. And the ultimate reason for this is the reason companies stay small is they don't train people and guarantee their success. And this is what I was saying on the opening, okay? Your abilities, okay? People are not lazy. I know every entrepreneur I talk to. Look, I've worked with Google, State Farm, Allstate, ADP, the U.S. Army. I mean, I could just go on and on and on and tell you all these companies. They all say people are lazy. The millennials are lazy. I remember when they said Gen X is lazy. Then before that, you know, every generation is lazy, folks. You know why? Because every decade, we make it, we, me and you, make it easier for people to do nothing. People are not born lazy. People are made lazy. Executives need to quit saying, my people are so lazy. That's about you. That's not about them. People are made lazy. Okay? You know, it used to be made in America. Now it's made in America lazy. Because we made it in America lazy. So 100 years ago, you had to go outside, man. You wanted eggs for breakfast? Bro, you had to grab a chicken. Okay? You wanted milk? You had to freaking squeeze the titty. So you know, you wanted, you know, 200 years ago, you wanted freaking meat. You had to go kill a moose. Today, what happens? You go to freaking McDonald's. We are made lazy. And so you have to train people. People do not know how to do this. Even at the highest levels, the highest paid people in the world train. LeBron James will do a layup shot today. His contract says he has to do X number every day. He will then move to the foul shot line. He will then move to the three-point line. He will take shots that he's taken tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of, and even at the upper levels, he is forced to train. So management, okay? Take the time to train your people every single day. First a sales meeting, then training, okay? Then role-playing. And then duplication, that is, you actually test people out. You could do this whole thing. Like, we have a program, Sean, I think you've seen it, where somebody could literally do everything I just went over in 12 minutes a day. 6 minutes in the morning, 6 minutes at night, and I can make anybody hit another level.
Awesome. One more thing before we wrap things up here. For the sales folks that are watching the show that may not be a business owner or looking to hire new people or train new people, but for the salespeople out there, what do you see as the biggest hurdle that salespeople face that keeps them stuck at mediocre and from really reaching that top 1% and really being at the top of their organization? What is the biggest hurdle that you see people that come through your stuff?
Same thing, staying small. I mean, like you said, hey, for the business, the salespeople out there that aren't interested in hiring people, every salesperson should hire somebody. Well, why wouldn't you hire somebody, okay? If you're great in sales, why are you doing administrative work? Okay, it doesn't make any sense. You go to the restaurant, you hire somebody to cook food for you. You go on a trip. Do you book your own trip? Okay, do you build your own car? Do you build a lawnmower? I mean, if you're a professional salesperson making 150 to 200 grand a year, you shouldn't be doing any of that stuff. You paint your house. You have somebody else paint it. You're a professional salesperson. You want to make $1 million a year? You don't do anything but sell. Nothing. You don't do anything, okay? You sell and have sex with your wife, and that's it. And everything else you should basically pay somebody else to do. I pay somebody to cook my food. I pay somebody to clean my house. I pay somebody to mow my lawn. I pay somebody to wash my car. I pay somebody to build my car, right? I don't want to do that stuff. I want to get in front of clients, and I want to give a little bit of money to people to do the things that don't pay me, which means I need somebody taking care of my schedule, my calls, my follow-up, my administration, my CRM. I need to grow and expand. You cannot be a great multi-million dollar producer if you're one person. Grow. Get big. 10X. 10X everything.
Awesome. So on that note, Grant, let us know what you got coming up this year. You know, some of the new projects. I know that you've got a lot of things going on there. What can our audience be on the lookout from you coming up? And if there's one recommendation of the products and services that you have for the show to get started in 10Xing their lives, what do you recommend that they do? And how can they reach out to you?
Number one, without bragging, I got a lot of stuff going on. You know, I don't make excuses. I don't have time for excuses. I just figured out how to get more done. I mean, that's my life right there. If you knew the kind of, I just closed on a $126 million real estate portfolio. The last quarter, this quarter of this year, the end of last year, I closed on, I think it was $90 million of real estate. That's a multifamily. That's a business I own. We just signed up some huge contracts with our online platform. We just produced an online training platform for army troops or troops, military troops in transition from the Army. We give that to the U.S. Army, by the way. It's how to teach a guy that was doing artillery in Afghanistan how to become a salesperson and now provide freedom for his family. I mean, let's face it. He fought for my freedom. Now I'm going to help him get his. when he comes back to civilian life. So we just dropped that program. I'm about to do a gig with Steve Harvey, another gig with Tony Robbins. I just got a book deal this week with Simon & Schuster, so I'll be writing a book called Obsessed. We're dropping six more shows of Whatever It Takes, a reality show. I got two kids and I got a wife. You say, hey, how do you do it all? Dude, I give 100% to every one of those projects. 100% I give to every one of those projects. If I'm working on real estate, I'm 100% in it. When I finish with that project, I then move to my book deal and I give 100%. And then when that's done, I got my sales office over there and I walk past and I'm like, I'm going to freaking jack these guys up. And when I do that, I give them 100%. And when I go home tonight and I'm with my little three-year-old, who, you know, it's that moment where I can really develop that relationship, I give her 100%. And then when I lay down with my wife tonight, I'm going to give her 100%. So that's the kind of stuff I got going on. The thing, if you're a salesperson or you're a business and you're an owner of a business and you want to grow your business, you should check out one product I have for sure. It is the best product I have, okay? It is a killer product because it's delivered in video to your phone, your iPad, or your computer. And I know when you hit it. See, you buy a book from me, I don't know when you opened it. This program, I can actually remind you and say, dude, you didn't hit it today. It's called CardoneUniversity.com. And if you hate selling, I can make you a master at sales. If you're good at selling, I'll make you a legend in your industry. And if you're already great, I guarantee I'll 10 times your income with that program. It's called CardoneUniversity.com. And Sean, what we do, it's an $8,000 program. It's $8,000. But maybe what we do is we put some kind of special on there, Sean, and give you a credit, for sending the traffic that way and come up with some kind of offer.
Awesome.
Okay.
Perfect. Well, hey, I appreciate your time. Guys, again, check out Cardone University. Check him out on YouTube. Follow him on Twitter. I promise you, you will not be let down. You will be entertained. And as always, check out my blog, sellingwithsean.com. And again, I appreciate you, Grant. And until next time, we'll see you.
Sean, you're the man, dude. Anything I can ever do for you, let me know, all right?
All right, buddy.
Okay.